So we're going to bring item 10A and B to the front after public comment, or yeah?
Yeah, after 6.
Okay, so then we're going to do 10A and B, and then go back to 7. We're going to do closed session at the end. Okay, good evening. I'd like to welcome you all to the Wednesday, June 26, 2019 meeting of the Oceana Community Services District. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Gibson.
Here.
Director Villa.
Here.
Director Apolvin.
Here.
Vice President White.
Here.
President Olson.
Here. Will you all please join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Thank you. That brings us to agenda review. We have some things will change. What we will do is we're going to move the closed session to the end of the meeting. And after public comment, item 6, we will go to our hearing items, which are items 10A and B. So is there everyone agreed that we do that?
I make a motion that we approve the agenda as amended.
A second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Then that'll bring us to public comment for any items that are not on the agenda. Any member of the public may speak on anything not on the agenda. You have 3 minutes to talk. Is there any public comment on items not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, then that will move us. We will go right into our item 10A, which is a hearing to consider protest to a proposed increase in solid waste rates, and if no majority protest exists, recommendations to approve a resolution adopting solid waste rates effective on July 1st, 2019, January 1st, 2020, January 1st, 2021, and waiving the franchise section 8.3 rights to terminate the franchise. So in hearing A, we have a presentation. Mr. Ogren, do you introduce?
President Austin, members of the board, that's correct. There's two presentations tonight. First from Jeff Smith with South County Sanitary, and then from Mr. William Statler, who has done the rate review. So, Jeff.
Can everybody see that okay? Should we turn the light down a little? Or?
Hopefully you can see it okay.
There's also a printout of all the slides on the side table. You can't read
there, that's good.
Yeah,
there.
And you guys have too.
Great. Thank you, President and members of the board. Appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and speak to you about our rate increase request. I'm going to present to you a little history on recycling. To start with, our rate request, over half of it is directly related to the cost of recycling and what's happened in the industry over the past several years. So I thought what I would do is walk us very quickly through 30 years of history. Trust me, though, it's going to go very quick. But if you have some questions, I'll be happy to answer those as we go. Before I start, again, my name is Jeff Smith. I'm the district manager for South County Sanitary Services. And with me tonight is Dane Johnson, who's our financial controller. If you have any financial questions, we brought the guy with us. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Basically, what I'd like to do is take you back to, if you remember years ago, back in the late 70s or early 80s, in New York, there was a barge off the coast of New York. Does anybody remember this story?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the beginning of recycling. Back then, what happened is New York had actually signed a deal with New Jersey to take the waste. And New Jersey had agreed to it verbally, but hadn't signed the paper yet. Well, while they agreed to it, that barge showed up on the shores of New Jersey to dump the waste. And New Jersey said, wait a minute. if this, we haven't even signed a deal, there must be something wrong with this stuff. And they sent it away, and of course it sat out in the harbor for the next 6 weeks until they found a place to take it to. Well, that began the first step in people saying, well, how much room is in the landfill? And maybe we can do something better, of course. And what we did here in California in 1989 is we actually created AB 939. AB 939 was a program to develop 50% diversion from the landfill. That's where recycling really started here for us. California's always been the leader in this, and we've done a lot of things with that. Well, in 2012, we'll fast forward a little bit further. I told you this would go pretty fast. So in 2012, we went to AB 341. Well, AB 341 was a goal set by the state of California for a 75% diversion of waste from the landfill. Now, we still have a long way to go with that, and recycling has changed since then. But the increasing mandates included organic recycling along with commercial business changes. And it kind of for us, the organics component began that digester process that I'm sure you've all heard about over the last several years, which, by the way, is fully operational since January 1st. And we'll be offering tours for that later on if you'd like to do that. So in 2012, as all this was going on, China kind of began to throttle in the recycling market. They began what a lot of people consider to be market manipulation. The global markets and the commodities, the volatility changed dramatically. Of course, this shook the markets considerably, not only here in California, but all over the world, and particularly in the U.S. What the good news is Coal Canyon Processing, which is a waste connection facility, John Ryan, who wasn't able to be here tonight due to a family emergency, he actually started working with locals in the area, set up local contacts to take material to for recycling so we could do it here. Not only here, we have places as close as Cambria and up and down the coast here in California and all over the place that John started developing relationships where he could take the material to. So when that China market got rattled and things changed, initially it didn't really impact us too much. Of course, that's caught up over the years. And in 2014, we actually, China moved again. They established what they called the Green Fence. And the Green Fence was something that defined what plastics would be accepted in China. So at that time, plastics, if you know on the bottom of your milk bottle or something like that, you'll see a number, or any of your plastics, number 1 through 7 typically. Well, a lot of places, in fact, I just read today, I was speaking to Karen momentarily and noticed that in Oregon today, they just passed a new law that actually says that numbers 3 through 7 will no longer be taken to be recycled. They're going to be thrown in the landfill. But I'm going to tell you right now, we don't have that problem here. Again, thanks to John and the work he's done and working with local vendors, we can still take number 1 through 7. The only one we are having trouble with is number 6. Number 6 is polystyrene and styrofoam. Styrofoam, they can't find a use for at this point, and polystyrene is things like red solo cups. And if you think about Cal Poly and the parties, we get a lot of them, so we've found a good home for those. Moving into 2017, the China again raises a flag, and they call it what they call the China Sword. The China Sword is what changed the industry forever. Look back when in 2017, what happened is China decided that they were only going to accept about 0.5% of trash in their material that came over to them. Historically, a lot of places would send up to 20% or 30% trash with the recycling. We did it much differently. We only had about 2% to 3% with trash would be mixed in. We had a pretty good system and still do to this day. But meeting that 0.5% really made a big difference for everyone. Now that what that happened is since the China wasn't accepting the material, most people couldn't get the material down to that. We were using the local markets. Everybody decided to try to jump into the local markets. It created a lot of turmoil. But again, due to the work that was done in 2012 and up to then, we've still got pretty good relationships with everybody. But of course, that turned the commodity market upside down so that people were now having to pay to get rid of material versus getting paid to get that material. It made quite a big difference. So what did we do? In order to respond, we have a line, a sort line. If you've been to our MRF facility, you see a manual facility where the material runs through every day. We ran at about 20 to 22 tons per hour. When this all started, we actually had to cut that speed in half. We're running about 12 to 14 tons per hour now to meet that 0.5%. Again, since China did it, everybody else did it, it really changed the market dramatically. So we haven't had to do better than what we're doing before. It also, the labor increased by over 100%. We had to double our force on that line to make sure that the bad material got pulled out. South County Sanitary Service also created a recycle app. We have a new recycle app out. It's getting refined a little bit, but it'll be available, and I'll get you more information on that really soon. But it'll help people with what we call wishful recycling. Years ago, people used to be told, hey, if you don't know, just throw in that recycle bin, right? We'll figure it out. Well, now we have about 30% of that recycling material is trash, so it's really not the way to go. We need to put the right things in there because there's a big cost in doing that. Oh, something happened there. There it goes. It just came back.
Can you define trash?
Trash?
Yeah.
Yeah, so trash is anything that isn't recyclable or organic. So things like wet material, plastic bags is a good one. All of those kinds of things. Everything that comes in anything but paper, plastic, 1 through 7, any of those items are recycled. Anything else would be considered trash. So
in other words, nothing that we wish was recyclable.
That's probably true. Nothing that you wish was recyclable.
Yeah.
And on our website, if you go to our South County Sanitary website, it's being updated as we speak. It's going to be a little bit cleaner and easier to use, but it has a place in there where you can actually go in and put in, for example, egg carton, and it'll tell you if that's recyclable or not, or pizza box, or a number of other things. So it'll be really helpful for people, as well as the app on someone's phone. So that'll be one way to help define things. We're also beginning to put stickers out on cans. We're working with IWMA. In fact, that's next on my list, or pretty close on my list here. Let me continue down, and I'll get to that,
sure,
too. But SCSS is attempting to hire a recycling educator. We're working through some things. We work with IWMA now, but we also want to do some more. We want to get more involved with the community and educate, because that's the number one thing that people need to do. We're also looking for innovative solutions, like we did with the digester. It's unique. It's new. It's something really good to have. We're hoping that we can find something as good in the recycling department to help get recycling down. Some of the ways to do that is with optical sorting. You get a cleaner sort line, but there's a little bit of cost involved, but it'll end up saving some money overall in the long run. So a couple more things I'll walk through. Just to give you an update, since we've actually put in this rate request, the market's gotten worse. In Q4 of 2018, commodity prices dropped another 60%. In Q1 of 2019, they actually dropped another 34% on some of those commodities. The prices and conditions are worse now than they were when we started the rate case. Contract labor is up by $800,000 since 2016. The recycling residual, the trash that we're talking about, that's costing about $100,000 a year for that wishful recycling in order to pull it out of that recycling container. So there's a huge cost in that. It's actually about 30% of the material going into that recycling can is actually trash. So the cost to maintain a 20-year-old MRF has gone up. Again, we're hoping that we can spend some capital and get some things done in that to actually make it a little bit better in the years to come, update the system. Commodity pricing right now is expected to get worse before it gets better. There's no market recovery expected till about 2022. We're hoping that the market will catch up, that some of those facilities over the years have been shuttered due to what China did, that will start reopening again. And then if you're just interested, there's a lot of information on Google. If you want to go look for some more about recycling, you'll find a number of things. A few final thoughts, and if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Our company's strong. It's committed to doing the right thing. We want to serve our community. We've done it for 30 years, and we want to continue to do so. We're committed to doing the right thing at the right time. We won't be throwing away recycling like some of our competitors. I can tell you some of the local competitors of the MRF have been, let's say, caught, I guess, for lack of a better term, taking that plastic material out of their facility and dumping it right in the landfill, you know, but that's not something we do, nor will we do. We're committed to continuing the work of building and developing relationships, not only with locals, but anywhere across the states and here and hopefully in California and the rest of the West Coast. And we're committed to being innovative and keeping our costs under control. We've done it for years, and we're actually one of the lowest cost providers around, and we hope to continue to do so. With that, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
And I'm looking at styrofoam, and I'm looking at a meat tray. Styrofoam meat tray. You know, you get a piece of meat at the supermarket, it's wrapped in plastic,
right,
and it's... Now, that's the kind of stuff you don't want in there.
That's right. That's not okay. Yeah.
But it also you don't want in the landfill.
Well, it's one of those things that people have, and the only thing you can do with it is throw it out. It's the only place you can go is the landfill. Ideally, if you want to, the good thing about landfills today is they're all lined. So ours in particular is lined. So if you get material in there that really isn't going to go bad, it's not going to soak into the ground. It's not going to get into a position where it's going to hurt anything.
It's also not going to biodegrade.
It's a bad waste that would be better if there were, I almost hate to say it, but if you had regulations where people were more inclined to be forced to put better material into things like that instead of using styrofoam for meat, they'd be better off. There's other things that we can use.
Cardboard.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing you can do with it is put it in the trash, though.
There's okay, because no I was trying to figure out if it's not recyclable and it's trash, but we don't want it in the landfill, is there anything else you can do with it?
There are no other options, no. No, this is where the organics component comes in good, because your food waste, if you have food waste left over, I don't know, pizza or food you don't eat or whatever that may be, the good news is all of that goes into that digester.
Yeah.
And that actually helps, because through that we're creating a biogas that helps facilitate electricity. I think it powers about 600 homes a year, if I remember correctly. And then that material that comes out the back end is a compost that's actually put in the agricultural community. So hopefully, as time goes, we can develop better things like that with either our recycling or perhaps with our trash at some point. The only way you can do anything with trash at that point, that type of trash, would be to burn it. And that's not something we want to do, because now you're going to create ozone problems and, you know, greenhouse gases and all the things that we don't want to do. So you have to bury it.
Kind of between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, you really are. And the other thing you have out of landfills is some of that material creates methane. That methane is turned into other types of products, perhaps fuel, perhaps, power, whatever else it can be. So there's a lot of things that we try to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I am personally guilty of throwing a lot of stuff, I realize right now, that doesn't go in recycling into recycling. I'll try and do better.
Yeah, it helps. If every one person that does it, as we educate our neighbors and help everybody understand, it just gets a little bit better. And at the end of the day, when we're able to pull some of that trash out, the prices will begin to come down again. At least we won't have to pay for the trash component in there.
Yeah, that'll be very helpful. The meat trays have always been washed and put into recycle.
Yeah. Washing, it's great. Some people say, do you have to? I think, you know, it depends on how bad it is. If John were here, I'm not sure if he'd tell you to wash it or not wash it, but then you got to worry about, are you wasting water, or should you put it anyway? And there's so many questions in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
I was just curious about the 60% of the commodities dropping.
Yeah.
That's the money you get from the recyclables, right?
Yeah. Yes. So historically, you've always been able to have commodities, and you would sell it to people, and you would be able to get a little bit of that payment back, so that in the old days, the pricing for recycling was nominal, if anything at all. But what's happened is instead of getting, well, I can tell you that maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I remember selling cardboard for about $100, I'm sorry, about $200 a ton. Well, today it costs about, I mean, you only get about $45 a ton. But I will tell you, it takes $44 a ton just to get it to port. So right now you're making maybe a dollar a ton on it, but you still got to pay for all the labor and all the things to get to it. That's just to drive it from the MRF after it's been sorted over to the facility that'll take it. Now you got to pay for all your processing and all the things that go along with it. So cardboard, which has always historically been one of the best commodities as far as pricing goes, is now, it's still the best, but there's no money to be made in it. Yeah, it's become a real problem. And again, it's getting worse before it gets better. Hopefully it gets better soon, but for now it's been a real bad problem to deal with.
Are you working on a campaign to help us recycle better?
We are, as a matter of fact. So the IWMA has been most historically the one that's done a lot of that campaigning for us. They have a new staff person who's going to run that facility soon. We're going to meet with him in somewhere around the middle of July, and his team, they're all going to do a tour over at the MRF. And we want to work with them to help with the education. But I'll be honest, we don't, no offense to the IWMA, but we don't think the IWMA does enough. We think that it should do more. So we want to participate a little bit more ourselves. I'll be honest, I meant to bring some brochures with me tonight, Carrie, and I apologize. The printer and I had a misunderstanding and they weren't ready. So I'll be able to have some soon that'll help with the recycling. But in the meanwhile, we have a lot of ability to show people what to do. And again, it's got to be education to help people out. But IWMA does some. We want to do more. We want to find other ways to help people. Like, I think the app's helpful. I think the website's helpful. I think things like that is a beginning.
One more quick one. Is newsprint, you still recycling newsprint?
Are we still recycling?
Newspaper print, newspaper.
Yeah, there's still some for it. It actually costs to recycle now. Newspaper used to be one of those big ones, but it's one of those ones you actually pay to have people take now. I think so much of it got out there that people just don't have the same use for it they used to have.
But they're using reusable newspaper.
Yeah, they can reuse it. It's still usable, but it used to be we'd get a little bit of money for it. Now we pay people to take it.
So,
a little different.
Thank you.
Yeah, great.
So the IWMA is going to be considering a countywide polystyrene ban on July 10th at their meeting. I was wondering if you know of any other ordinances or approaches that communities are taking that you think would be beneficial for Slo County to enact to reduce the amount of certain types of waste that are produced that can't be recycled?
You know, I think the county has done a pretty good job doing that up to now. I couldn't think of a specific one. I think some of the ones that really have to happen are probably more from the state or perhaps from the federal level. What we really need to see is there needs to be some sort of rules or regulations. And I'm not big on rules and regulations, but I'll tell you that the only way to really solve this is to get people to package things more correctly. Amazon, for example. Love Amazon. I buy from them all the time, but I can tell you I get tons of plastic things in there, and it'll say recycle on it. That stuff's not recyclable. You know, so they're not even doing the part that they should. We have to find ways to get people to do the right thing. I think that's where it has to come from. I'm not sure on the local level it becomes a challenge. You know, there's been a lot of things like San Luis made the straw rule and the styrofoam rule, and those things are important. I think that we should probably be better not to have styrofoam. You can't do anything with it but throw it in the trash. It just airspace is all it takes and has no value. So maybe there's something better we can do. But it's cheap, I think. It's pretty cheap for people to use is why they use it. So. On the other hand, I will tell you that years ago, there used to be a company called Dart Container in Southern California. They would accept that material. They can actually still do it, but the law has changed and they can't take it anymore. They were able to make things like the little foam things around your windows. You know, you have around your windows, you have a little like a 2x4 around it. Well, oftentimes that's just styrofoam. They can do things like that with styrofoam to help it. Styrofoam's used in surfboards and things like that. So you can use styrofoam for those types of things, but nobody can process it anymore is the problem. So. That's where it becomes the challenge.
Yeah, I did want to mention, though, that I've volunteered for many years with Surfriders Rise Above Plastics program and learned that you can take big pieces of packaging styrofoam, like if you buy a new microwave or TV or something, those mm-hmm. big hunks, mm-hmm. you can take those to a UPS store and they'll, I'm not sure what they do with them, but they will take them.
Yeah, perhaps they break them down and use them for repackaging or something.
Yeah, they might do that.
That's a good idea.
That's so one solution, repackaging.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. When you have to send something out, reuse the styrofoam you have is a great way to do it. That's one way to get a little more use out of it so it doesn't go into the trash as any sooner than it has to. You know, when you get a box and you should be pulling that box out and put the box in the recycle and pull the styrofoam and put it in the trash, you know. That's what I do at my house, but I'm sure not everybody does that. So those are some of the things that we have to think about and tell people.
One other question, compostable utensils. Mm-hmm. When I was down in San Diego, I toured a recycling facility, and they had put those in their industrial composters, and they would not break down.
Right.
Is that still a problem?
Yeah, they're not really compostable. Sometimes they'll break down, but they don't. There's no value in them. People have termed things compostable that aren't. It's like the those plastic bags that they have that they say are biodegradable, the little green ones. Well, they're really not biodegradable, believe it or not. There has to be a certain amount of air, oxygen that has to get to them. The chemical's not quite right, and they really don't break down. So unless you do everything right in a certain manner, which just isn't possible, then it won't break down. So people are calling things compostable that really aren't.
So compostable products are trash.
Some of them are, especially if it's plastic, absolutely. Anything plastic, even a lot
That's
of the wood
compostable plastic,
things
yeah.
are. Yeah, they're really not compostable.
Okay, thank you.
Like the plastic spoons and forks and knives are trash?
They're all trash,
not recycled.
It's like coffee cups. If you get a coffee cup that, you know, all coffee cups have a little bit of wax on them. Well, that wax makes them not compostable. So just to give you an idea, people have switched to paper thinking they were doing a good thing, and the fact is because they have that plastic, they're really not compostable. They have to be thrown in the trash.
Yeah, and the plastic coffee cup lids from Starbucks, those are made of polystyrene, number six plastic that's not recyclable.
Yeah, that's the only one we can still deal with is that number six polystyrene. We actually have a place for that. So they've taken the polystyrene, and they've been able to put it into computers, and it's made into the that 3D printing. They make things out of the polystyrene is what happened. So we found a place. I'm not going to tell you where because we don't want anybody to know, but we take our polystyrene someplace where they actually do that, so it's pretty good.
So we can put those coffee cup lids in
you
the
can,
recycling?
Yeah. Oh. Any like that and a red solo cup will work. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, solo good cups too?
Red solo cups work?
Yeah, they actually will go into that and be recycled. Yep. Yeah, they will.
Let's make Cal Poly more valuable.
when do you expect the app to be released?
The what? I'm sorry?
The app to be released to help with the recycling.
The app should be ready. Well, I thought it would be ready by now. So it's, you know how it is. It's one of those things I thought would be ready 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to say any day. I'd be happy to let everybody know. I can let you know, Carrie, when it's ready to go. We have a app that we're using company-wide, but I'm trying to develop it for our local use only. So the company-wide one is great, but we're going to have one that's going to be more specific to our needs and our community. So it's just taking a little bit more time to put it together.
Yeah. Yes, please let us know.
Yeah, it'll be called Recycle Slow County
as well.
Yeah, that's how we're doing
Recycle
it.
Slow County.
Yeah.
So pizza boxes.
Boxes. You know, that's funny.
I always hear different.
Yeah, I got asked that in Pismo Beach, and it started a huge discussion. But Pismo pizza boxes are absolutely compostable. Put them in your recycling bin.
Oh, good.
Okay. If you want to go crazy, they sometimes have a little paper in there. Take that out,
take
put the box
out.
In,
yeah,
and we're good to go.
Yeah, because if you have, like, the crumbs of the food and things.
Yeah, it's so small amount of anything on it that they're just fine to recycle.
Because I've heard different.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I was up in Washington for a couple of years, and they couldn't take pizza boxes up there, but... You know, this is John here, who's been here for 30 years. He's found great uses for everything. It's just not a problem for us.
Oh, great. Oh. That's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions or comments from that?
I'll be happy to answer more if you have them, so thank you very much.
Is there a public comment now? Or? Okay, I will now open up to public comment. On
the next presentation is by William Statler,
who
did the rate review work.
Okay, that's right. We'll wait to do our next presentation and then public comment. Sorry.
Well, good evening. As a finance guy, I may be the only one in the room that's really delighted to make a short presentation on the proposed rate increase. As I put my presentation together, the staff really only had three requests about doing that. And the first one was to keep it short. And the second one was to keep it short. And the third one was to keep it short. So we'll see how I do on that. You have a very comprehensive report in your packet that I prepared. So I'm going to try and do just the Reader's Digest version of that report. And then I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. The report I prepared analyzed the rate increase from South County Sanitary Service for four agencies in the South County, the City of Arroyo Grande, the City of Pismo Beach, Oceano Community Services District, and Pismo Beach. So why do that jointly? Because you all have exactly the same service level. You have exactly the same franchise agreements. You've adopted exactly the same rate-setting methodologies. And the financial information that we're using to evaluate the rate increase, it's the same. It's closely related for each agency. So there are some significant economies of scale in doing this. And there have been other agencies in the South County that are also serviced by South County Sanitary Service that have kind of piggybacked onto this report as well. So, three key findings from my report. First off, you have a complete application. The South County Sanitary Service has provided all of the required information, but I should point out it's taken four amendments since their first application back in September to get there, and I think that reflects the due diligence that the staff, myself, and South County Sanitary Service itself, the due diligence we provided over the last several months in making sure that the numbers are right, that we've sharpened the pencils as much as possible about what that is. And so the final application was submitted in late March. You're receiving a very comprehensive level of service from South County Sanitary Service. You get curbside trash, you get recycling, which is single stream. It's mixed, which is why you have the materials recovery facility, which is to separate those. But many communities throughout the state and the nation still have three or four different bins that you have to separate your items into, and separate greenways. At very competitive rates compared with similar communities. I'll have some information on that in a minute, but the short story is no one of the seven communities we surveyed has lower rates than you for any of the levels of service that are being provided, even with this rate increase. And then lastly, the rate manual upon which this rate setting methodology is based that you've adopted in your franchise agreement, it's 25 years old. It was first adopted and put in place by the City of San Luis in 1994. I think there are still some useful, very powerful stuff in the rate setting manual and trying to keep rates stable and trying to have reasonable expectations between the communities and the trash company. But 25 years have gone over the dam. And it really, I think, is timely to take a look at updating it. I'm sure in an update there will be components of it that will stay in place. But I also know, especially because of the change cost structure for materials recovery for recycling, which the original rate manual did not envision this as a problem at all. So taking another look at that, what's a methodology for assuring that those costs are reasonable? I think that needs to be updated. Now, the good news is, for any one agency, this should be a very, very modest cost. First off, South County Sanitary Services offered to pay for half of whatever that cost is. And there are a number of agencies throughout the county that are relying upon this rate manual as well. The city of San Luis Obispo, the county of San Luis Obispo, which deals with all of the unincorporated areas, Los Osos Community Services District, the special districts in the north coastal area, of course, South County Sanitary Service. So there are a number of agencies that are using this rate-setting manual. And if everybody pays a little bit towards that, I think you can get an updated manual, get it in place before the next rate-setting process, and do that at a very modest cost. You're not being asked to do anything about this evening. This is really more in the way of foreshadowing or setting a framework that at some point in the future, you may see your staff coming back and suggesting a modest contribution towards updating the manual. And you won't be surprised, hopefully, when that happens. So the rate recommendation in the final application, South County Sanitary Services asking for a 10.06% increase in the rates. This compares with their initial application of 13.36%. So in the months as we tried to sharpen our pencils, that we have seen that rate come down. The other thing is, especially when it comes to the MERV facility, some of these costs are just unfortunately significant, but they're necessary. With the proposed rate increase, you'll be seeing some modest increases for 32-gallon containers, which is the most common service level selected for single-family residences, less than $1.50 a month in order to accommodate these higher costs, about $2 for 64 gallons, and just about double that cost for 96 gallons. Key cost driver, and one of the reasons that we wanted the general manager to come talk about the MRF is because it's about 50% of the total cost increases directly related to that. Should point out, we had a number of cost concerns when we got the initial application. We've done a detailed review in the report that you have on about 10 of those. Ultimately, all of the concerns that we had initially have been resolved one way or another, either by getting the cost base to be reduced somewhat or by just accepting that the detailed analytics that are behind the increases make sense. But again, the key cost driver is the MRF operations. Significant increase back in 2017, the last audited year, you were paying $7.80 a ton. And the rate application for 2019 is $67.50 a ton. Significant cost increase. It's an annual cost increase of about $765,000 compared to 2017. But here's the thing. Market realities facing all recyclers throughout the nation, higher costs and lower revenue is kind of the perfect storm, if you will. The cost of producing the recyclable materials, significantly higher, maybe about as much as double. On the other hand, and that's in order to meet the product requirements of the Asian markets. They've set much higher standards for how good the quality has to be, if you will, of the recyclable products, and that costs more in order to reach that. On the other hand, for this much higher quality product, the market is providing much lower revenues for that. And how does that translate for you? Because that's the net cost that you're showing as the cost. It's the gross cost of operating the MRF less the revenues, and that's the net cost that you have to pay. So I think that's just a market reality that's facing everyone in the state. On the other hand, the higher costs of other reasonable alternatives. They're proposing $67.50. On the other hand, the alternatives to that range from $100 a ton to $200 a ton compared with the $67.50. So as much as that's a significant increase, probably in the real world, the comparison shouldn't so much be $7.80 compared to $67.50 as much as $67.50 compared to what are the other reasonable alternatives. And that would be $100 to $200 a ton to do something different than using the Cold Canyon landfill. We were doing pretty good here for a while. You know, maybe we're really close to the end, and we can do this in an old school way of not relying upon the slides. You know, this next one actually is a pretty cool slide. It's the one that compares your rates. There we go. It's the one that can. Oh. Well.
Yeah, you have to keep standing.
I was
there
so happy the there for a moment. You know, you have this. You have this chart in your staff report. If you'll go to page, I'm not sure exactly what page it is in your staff report.
Eight.
I don't know. Do they have this handout? Well, you know, you have this handout. And so if you take a look at it, of all the agents we surveyed in the Central Coast, in every category you are lower, whether it's 32 gallons, 64 gallons, or 96 gallons. Now, I will say this, the only one in that chart that is lower than you is the city of San Luis Obispo for a 32-gallon container. But as you'll note in that little summary there, when I put this together, they were also going under review. They've subsequently done that. They approved a 14% rate increase. So that is now what's in place in the city of San Luis Obispo. That would put their rates to over $16 a ton. So today, you are lower than any of the other agencies we surveyed for all of the classes of service. So the conclusion, in conclusion, may be the two sweetest words in the English language when it comes to a presentation. In conclusion, the costs are reasonable, and the proposed rate increase meets the reasonable return criteria that you set forth in your franchise agreement. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Oh, yeah. That leaves us to questions. The good news, you only had to suffer through 10 slots.
So how many complaints have you had? Concerns? Protests?
So under the formal protest proceedings, we'll get to that in a minute, but it's one.
I don't have any questions. I think you explained
thank you very, much.
Very well. Thank you very much.
Yes, President Austin. So now we proceed with the script that's in the recommendations. And that's important in order to follow the formalities of a protest hearing.
Okay.
Where the next step is to open the public hearing.
Okay, so I'll open the public hearing.
And take any public testimony and any public protests.
Okay, so I'll take, yeah, we'll open up for public comment for any testimony or protests of the rate increase of the South County Sanitation District. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay.
Carrie, can you just turn that off? Okay, so then you can close the public hearing.
Okay, I will now close the public hearing.
And what we have to report to your board is that we have received one written protest. So in order for a protest to be valid, there has to be 50%. I'm not exactly sure what that number is, but it's a couple thousand. Certainly a lot more than one. Your board can make a motion that you have declared that there is not sufficient public protests.
Okay, would someone like to make that motion?
I would like to make a motion that there was not sufficient public protests in regard to the South County sanitation increases.
Yeah, pursuant to Prop 218.
Yes, pursuant to Prop 218.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Can we get a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Pope?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes.
And so that's the formality to determine that there is not a sufficient public protest. And at this point, then, board discussion and your discretion on whether to adopt the attached resolution.
Okay, is there any discussion on it?
I just had one question, which is, are there any plans to update the rate setting manual? Is that in the schedule somewhere?
Bill, can you address that question on current plans on updating the rate methodology?
You'd like me to... Oh, you know, we missed the rate-setting methodology. We sort of skipped in front of that. I'm going to spare you going back through this, but here's basically the three steps to the rate-setting methodology. The first is to organize the costs into three main categories. The first one is what's called allowable costs, which means they're allowed to earn a profit on those costs. And the profit they're allowed on that is 8%. The second category is pass-through costs. They're allowed to recover those costs, but they're not allowed to make a profit on them. And that includes the landfill costs, that includes the MRF costs, includes your franchise fee. They get to obviously recover that, but they don't get to earn a profit on it. And if there are any related party transactions where Waste Connections is kind of allocating costs to the local operation, which are subject to scrutiny as well, but those they're allowed to recover, but they're not allowed to earn a profit on that. So that's kind of that second clear. Then there's a third category. These costs are just excluded. They're not allowed to recover it either with a profit or even as a pass-through. And that includes income taxes they have to pay. That includes any charitable or political contributions they may make. Probably the most significant one of those is there are limits on corporate officer compensation going back to basically CPI since 1999. So those costs are just plain excluded, and it's a fairly significant number of costs that they don't get to recover at all. And so when you look at that, that's kind of the cost category. The allowable costs, they get to earn 8% on that. The pass-through costs, they get to recover them. And then there are certain costs that are disclosed both in their application as well as in their audited financial statements that are just plain excluded.
And then you mentioned that the methodology that was originally established is about 25 years old, and there's consideration for updating the methodology, the book, if you will. And South County Sanitary has apparently willing to offer pay 50% of that update.
Yes, they have offered to do that.
And then what are we doing amongst the local agencies to take next steps on that?
Well, I can say at a staff level, the staffs have been receptive to the notion that this needs to be updated. And again, I don't necessarily have an order of magnitude estimate about what this will cost. I'm not the likely consultant to do that kind of work, but in your report, I've identified, I think, about five or six very well-respected companies that were probably who you might want to issue an RFP to if you get that far. But obviously, the fact that you only have to pay half of what's left over is a significant item. But again, there are probably, I'm going to guess order of magnitude, I probably should add them, there's probably 20 agencies throughout the county that are using this rate setting manual. So even if you just did it even Steven, although I'd probably argue do it based on revenues that each of the agencies is for, so that larger agencies pay a little bit more than smaller agencies. But even if you just divided it by 20, you know, that's going to be, I think, a very modest price. It's hard for me to believe almost under any circumstance, it's going to be more than maybe $5,000 to do that, probably significantly less. I just don't know how much this type of analysis would be. And I should indicate, you know, there's little pride in authorship here. I mean, I was involved in developing the rate setting manual, so I have some buy-in to it that I think has been of significant value to the agencies as well as the trash company. In having a very straightforward way of evaluating rates. And so I think there are a number of components in it that are likely to remain with an update. I'm equally certain there will be some components that in 25 years have changed. I'm especially interested in taking a look at corporate officer limits and how to more fully evaluate MRF and green waste recovery costs, because those markets have changed so significantly over the 25 years. When the manual was first put together, the expectation was there would be significant revenues, net revenues that came from the recycling operations that would actually be an offset to the cost that would otherwise be there. But that's obviously changed, and it's changed significantly in just the last 2 years. So,
okay. So we'll need to follow up with South County Sanitary, maybe even with IWMA, in order to figure out how to coordinate with the other local agencies.
Thank you.
When was the last time that our rates were raised from the South County Sanitary Service? How many years ago does anybody renew?
The last one was 2015.
2015? Okay. Just wanted that out there.
Yeah, in the meanwhile, just like our water rates and wastewater rates, there have been some minor adjustments for the Consumer Price Index. But the last formal hearing like this was in 2015.
2015, okay. Is any other comment from board members? Well, I think it's a very modest increase for what the service we get from the South County Sanitation Service, and I'm very impressed with what they do out at the landfill, keeping up with, very proactive and all the new innovative things that have to be done and the regulations and the rules they have to follow. So I, support this. I deal with the sanitation district, have for years in our business, and nothing but, quality service. I think they've been very good with Oceano and the help that we've needed in cleanups and things. So
I was going to say that my experience with them has been excellent. And 10% looks like a lot of money, but then when it translates to $1.41 a month for garbage pickup, green waste, and recycling, that's 3 cans a week. And I know certainly I live in Halcyon, and it's today was garbage day, and 3 cans, the trucks have to go into the streets and back up. They can't turn around. So picking up, if you think of the expenses of picking up in my little community, I don't think they've ever made a profit just from the costs of the trucks going and backing up. And anyway, and I'm certainly satisfied with the service. And about once a year they miss something in the rural areas, and you call them up and there's a truck either there that late that day or they're there the next day. And they've never abandoned me, never abandoned my garbage. So
okay, so our next step is, if there's no other comment, no other public comment, or no other board comment, we make a motion. Somebody make a motion to approve the resolution.
I make a motion to approve the resolution of the rate increase for the sanitation service district here of 10.06%.
It's in the resolution. That's just
second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Villa?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Rapoport?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much for your presentations. It was very, very helpful.
Of course, I'd love to stay for your budget discussions, but and stay here.
Thank you. Okay, so now that will bring us back to item 7, special presentations.
We're going to do 10B.
Didn't we do it already?
10B. No. Our budget.
Oh, I was thinking, okay, never. I was thinking 10B was his.
So, President Austin, members of the board, 10B is the public hearing for the 2019-20 preliminary budget. We have provided a handout. It's the table here. It extends the same table that's on page 70 of your board packet. The table that was on page 70 basically just showed the changes from the workshop we had on June 12th to the workshop or to the preliminary budget that we're having today. So it shows the difference in the budget worksheets that are attached. The table here in the handout This extends on what more the combined preliminary budget summary table is. That is a part of the preliminary budget's narrative, so on page 78. So we just wanted to tie those back because the table in your staff letter was missing the equipment fund because there was no changes to the equipment fund from your workshop to today's budget, your preliminary budget. And then also it includes the fund balance available and the use of reserves and the addition to reserves in the funds. So that is the table that we have handed out here. We also have provided the slides from June 12th, just in case you wanted to bring anything else up or revisit any of the slides or things we discussed on the 12th, if anyone had any changes there. The two main changes that are shown in the table are based off the Five Cities fire budget update and then the increase for the utilities supervisor slash and then also the lead operator position in the enterprise funds, so the water, sewer, wastewater, and garbage. And with that, if there's any specific questions to the worksheets.
So those are the only substantial changes from our workshop?
Yeah. Those were the two.
And as a point of clarification, on the additional contingencies that Carrie mentioned for labor, that, you know, will be subsequent board action as to the actual effect on those positions and changes in job descriptions. So those aren't tied to any of the positions. It's just our general estimate overall for labor contingency.
Okay.
Oh, and I should also, sorry, one last thing. Point out, I have a red line staff letter of the last part of other financial considerations. I hadn't updated that, so my apologies. And there's a red line.
Is there anyone have any questions for Carrie? No questions? Okay, then let's see. This has...
Madam President, this is a regular public hearing, so we don't have to go through, you know, the formalities of a protest hearing, just public comment.
There were three things, though, on our that we're supposed to make motions on.
Yeah, we have
set March the 28th for the actual hearing to approve the resolution. I just, if someone were to make a motion, I had that right here.
Yeah, there's two resolutions. One's approving the preliminary budget, and then the other's approving the appropriation limitation for the budget. And the third would be the public hearing for August. We have to have the final budget adopted before August 30th. So I'll come back.
So that would be what the motion would be.
If you're so.
Yeah, certainly. Just a recommendation to approve staff. A motion to approve staff recommendations.
Okay.
After public comment would handle all three.
Okay. Now we will open this up to public comment. Does anyone have any public comment on the budget?
You know, I'm raising my hand a minute. You girls talk, but I can't hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
So when he his presentation was on the water sanitation.
It was on the sanitary service on our trash pickup. Oh, do you want to come so we can hear you? Or I guess it's okay. If it's,
so
there was nothing. We're not talking about the water. Was that this?
Madam President, so I think that would be appropriate to provide, although you already had public comment on items not on the agenda, but after this particular item, you could reopen it for her to ask her questions.
Okay, so if you want to wait till we finish this, then we'll have you ask your questions again, and we'll talk, okay? Okay, thank you. Okay, so let's all speak into the microphone, and we're at a point... public comment,
Seeing none. Does anyone want to make a ready to make a motion on this item?
I make a motion we approve staff recommendations. If that covers it.
Yes. Second. It's been moved and seconded. Can we get a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Repoble?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay. So now I'm going to reopen public comment. And if you'd want to come forward here and you had a question, you received a letter. You want to go ahead?
I received a letter that you were having a meeting having to do with the billing on our water. It was going to be an increase per month. I didn't see anything about the sanitation. That's always kind of like confused. I don't know if it was on that same statement. I don't remember. I didn't bring it to me.
Meeting was on the sanitation.
So when you pass the sanitation, that's the garbage.
Right.
The sanitation that takes care of our sewage and all that, they're almost the same label as a trash.
Right. Sanitation. It's South County Sanitary and South San Luis County Sanitation. It is.
When that took place, because they put my billing through my taxes.
Right, that's the sanitation district,
right.
The sewer.
Why did they do that?
It happened several years ago with, I don't know what we call it, the Oceano. The sanitation district couldn't come to an agreement with the billing procedures in Oceano, so they turned it over to the county to collect the money before the OCSD collected the sanitation fees.
Right.
And paid it, and but now the county does that, and that's the sewer, not the trash.
But why did they put it on our taxes?
That's just the way they have to collect it.
To me, it feels like you're putting that, we're opening that ledger. Property taxes for the property, not what's coming in. Pretty soon, PG&E, Southern Gas, everybody's going to say, "Well, we'll put it on the taxes."
So Madam President, if I might clarify. So our board here today is not the board that takes those charges and puts them on your tax bill.
Right.
That's a separate entity, the South County Sanitation District.
Right.
It's not this isn't the board that does that.
Right. I understand. I understand, but you're representing them.
Pardon
me? You're representing us to them.
No,
or am I wrong?
No, they are actually a separate legal entity from us. The South County Sanitation District is its own district, separate from the Oceano Community Services District.
Mm-hmm.
And so underneath state statutes, they could send you bills in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
They choose not to do that. They have, under state statute, the ability to place it on the county property tax bills, mm-hmm, for collection, which is what they have chosen to do because it's, you know, cost effective and they don't have to send out bills. PG&E, Southern California Gas, those private utilities, they are not local governmental agencies. They do not have the statutory authority to put it on your property tax bills. This board, when it comes to water bills and our own sewer component, or even the garbage bills, there is the statutory authority to put it on your property tax bills, but this board chooses not to do that. But again, the Sanitation District Board chose to do that, and that was.
I was here for that meeting when the representative was here.
Yeah.
And they said, well, somebody made, when I called them, because we weren't getting bills, they says, oh, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. I've always paid for that bill. I'm sure a lot of people.
Yeah.
And if the people were not paying for that, you just turn off the water. As easy as that.
Okay, but again, that's a decision and the discretion of a governing body that is not this governing body.
So whom do I need to speak out so
the
I can get
the South County Sanitation District?
Pardon me?
The South County Sanitation District. And we'd be more than glad to get you their phone number.
Yeah, if you could do that.
Yeah.
Because I just don't see why they added it to our property taxes. Taxes on property is property. That's it. nothing else comes in. If you start opening doors and letting somebody squeeze in before, you have everything. So people lose their property because they can't afford to pay their taxes. The taxes keep climbing. It came to be that when you bought property, at the time you bought it, it's supposed to be less as years go by. But it's going the opposite way. And I only speak for myself. You know, that I'm sure there's other people, too, that are elderly and more elderly than myself, that you kind of put them in a position. But if I could get that information so that I could voice my opinion, which I know there's a lot of people, I just think they just kind of snuck it in there, and I'm very upset.
So Carrie has their phone number now.
I just want to clarify that as well.
Because understood.
Well, they'll explain it.
Because Hawaii Brandy, Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, they pay their bills separate. Sanitation, garbage, water bill. And why did they choose Oceano? Because we're mute. Thank you. Just want to clarify that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that brings us back to special presentations and reports, I believe, right? So we'll start with our staff report. Tony, Field Supervisor Tony Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. All right, so daily rounds, weekly, monthly samples. We had 8 work orders, 12 USAs, 6 customer service calls, 0 call-outs for the past 2 weeks. We had a valve on the island, what we call the island Maui Circle, by the sanitation district that was leaking. That was an interesting job because the water table's so high. And our utilities are about 4 feet in the ground, and the water table's, I don't know, a foot and a half below the surface. So it took a little while to excavate and get shielding in there, and got it replaced. We had to notify the residents. We also had to coordinate with the sanitation district to dewater into our collection system so they could treat it. It went very well. We also did our own paving on that job. That was about 3 tons worth of hot mix. Went very well, so we're going to continue to pave all of our streets as we do our own repairs. The field staff attended a harassment class, working with 1189 Pike, getting a 6-inch fire line installed into our system to provide fire protection for the facilities over there. Still continue to work on trash, hydrant maintenance. Well 4 got pulled. The tube and shafts are no good. They basically had to get torched as they came out just because it's from the 50s. Next step now is to camera the casing, see how what the casing looks like. We'll get that done here shortly. We're working on a valve over on Vista that, as we do the hydrant maintenance, part of the hydrant maintenance is turning valves, and these valves that we are replacing are going to hydrants. They break. Stems break. So we are working on a valve over there on Vista. We'll get that replaced tomorrow, and then we'll hot patch the street on Friday. All right. Met with the county regarding the drainage project with Romina today. That went very well. Met with Cannon regarding our infrastructure prior to doing the county overlay in some areas in Oceano so we can get that taken care of before the county comes in. The jetter, the actual hatch on the jetter, there's almost a 2-inch steel basically hinge that holds the back gate, the debris tank, that actually sheared in half, and we got the parts coming in right now to get it fixed. So everything we've been digging is either with a backhoe or a shovel, you know. Takes a little longer every now and then. Met with WSC regarding the lift station. They have some interns working for them this summer, and it's a really good project for them to look into. Basically, what we need. Hey, our lift station's from 1964. Where can we relocate it? Capacity. Bypass, you know, if everything happens, you know, if something happens to it, get rid of the confined space entry, you know, look at what can benefit the district, you know, using these interns, and it went really well. lot of good ideas, and look forward to what they come up with. Any questions?
Yeah, you said you did a repair and then your own paving?
Correct. We're going to start taking over our paving.
And do you have any idea how much money that saves?
So approximately 3 tons, you're looking at 1,800 to 2,000 if you have a contractor do it. The material alone was $250 and some change. And, you know, our time is accounted for in the budget. So I did talk to my GM about that, and he did a quick calculation. I'm sure he can answer what we saved.
I am remembering off the top of my head the back of the envelope calculation that Tony and I did this morning. In addition, so the $250 for the actual purchase of the hot mix, and even if you throw in a little bit of gas, you know, our out-of-pocket is, let's say, about $300. When we add in, so we've, because labor is already covered in the budget, we're saving about $1,500 in real costs. Now, there's the opportunity cost because they could be working on other things as well. And we were estimating that when you add in our labor costs, we're probably up to about $1,200 for the job. So coming in about two-thirds of the cost of a private contractor.
Okay. So Oceano can do it all.
We're getting there.
Yep.
Yes. And then just to give you an example, a ton of material for a private contract is right about $650 a ton. Okay. We did almost 3 tons at that location.
Wow.
Where do you buy that?
I was just going to say, where do you get
you
that?
You actually go down towards Santa Maria, and it's get off at Bedarabia, make a left, and there is a, it's the only place they do it in
Battles?
South County. Cal Portland has a batch out there. Take Bedarabia down
about east of Santa,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Get off Bedarabia, go east.
Clear almost as Gary.
You know, honestly, I don't know that area too well. I can just see the batch plant and I know where to go.
Is it near the river where they have a gravel too?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So Union. Yeah. Old Union, that's all.
So you're looking at, you know, a 40-minute drive there, 30 to 40 minutes depending on traffic.
Yeah, well, I think that's wonderful. I think that's great.
Oh,
not that you drive 40 minutes, but that you guys can do those jobs like that.
Yes, you just send one guy as a driver, yeah. And you can still prep the area because you still got to heat up the existing. You still got to put down some glue. And
Yeah,
so it worked out really well.
Good. When you pull the shaft off that well, do you recycle that metal? I was just thinking that might be. Is that stainless or?
I have pictures of it. It's completely corroded. It's not stainless. It's steel.
It's not.
It's amazing what it looks like from being in.
What do you do with it?
Usually the well company takes it off site.
Okay, yeah.
So and we just got to get a camera and
how deep
go from
is
there.
How deep is that well?
That's actually a shallow well. That's only 200 feet. And as they pulled the column tube out, a bowl had separated, actually blown apart. It's probably at the bottom of the well. We just haven't camered yet. And the actual shaft separated also at the location.
So you still got some stuff to pick up?
As soon as we get the camera in there, we'll see where it's at. It'd be down at the bottom. But when you install a new one, you don't go all the way to the bottom with a new tube and shaft. It goes probably 160 feet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes that stuff is left at the bottom.
Yeah.
It
could happen.
It's no biggie. I just was curious. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as we can see in there, right now we haven't looked.
Is there an indication that well is salvageable?
There's a good chance, but we don't know until it's camered. Because well 5 was roughly the same age, and it was not salvageable.
Yeah.
But the good thing with this one, the casing is 14 inches in diameter. So you could, you know, sleeve it with the 10-inch or, you know, 12-inch, 8-inch. I don't know, but you can re-sleeve it. You have a better opportunity. Well 5 was a smaller diameter.
Yeah.
The interns that are taking a look at the lift station, are they considering sea level rise in determining a location?
You know, that's a very good question. I definitely mentioned the high water table. So they... They know of that. They also know that there's a monitoring well, you know, within 50 feet of our current lift station. I did not ask that question. As soon as they look into it, I'm sure they're aware of that. I'd hopefully, you know.
So far, all they've done is to come out and do a visit with Tony and have a discussion with Tony about, you know, the history of the well and some of the challenges. When we receive a proposal from them, we'll make sure that we address the climate change question.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tony. Okay. We don't have Chief Lieberman, and so that brings us to our General Manager, Mr. Ogren.
Yes, President Austin, members of the board, I really don't have much to report. I ended up taking off time since the last meeting and had relatively few hours actually worked. But for that non-activity, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Well, we won't ask you what you're doing. Okay, well, thank you for that report. And then we don't have anyone from the sheriff, so now we'll move to our board of directors. Director Villa. Director Gibson.
The only thing I attended was the opening of the bridge at
Air Park.
Yeah, Air Park. And I think that the feng shui should be added to the skill set of Tony and Casey because they did a lovely arrangement of celery for the celery queen.
Okay. Thank you, Shirley.
I want to say that I also attended that, and I loved it. Yeah. Thank you, Linda. I didn't know we were going to be surprised with a mini parade.
It kind of was just one of those last-minute get on the
phone. So for,
I started out with, I said, well, I have, is it okay if I could, like, bring my little old car to drive over it first? Oh, sure, that's fine. Then Shirley mentioned she had an old car, and then, oh, okay, and then just everybody. So it kind of worked out. So it was fun. It was
for a last-minute thing, it was very nice, and it really.
And then we thought we need a queen, we need a grand marshal, so we knew we had an original 1959 celery queen that's still here. So she said, "Oh yes." So yeah, and then we had a princess that she wants to be the queen next time. It's kind of like we're thinking maybe we should think about a parade sometime or something for some of this.
And that's what happens when the general manager is out of town.
Right. Yeah, yeah, we were just running.
We can't be trusted.
Okay, I don't have. Did you have anything to report?
Yeah. The Five Cities Fire Authority approved the budget. And beyond that, they also began the search for 3 additional firefighters who will be stationed at Grover Beach, giving. That'll give us 3, 3, and 2. They should be on by fall. There's a rather comprehensive testing program before you hire firefighters. Because a regular firefighter, full-time professional firefighter, has to have quite a large skill set, and he also has to pass physical fitness tests. And I was surprised at the skill set. And they have a program through the state of California where the firefighters themselves certify to all of these requirements ahead of time. And they put them on a list at the state of California. And then you know they're certified, and they know you're offering a job, and so you get together. So it's kind of a good hiring kind of program. And the real challenge will probably not be finding physically fit firefighters, but finding physically fit firefighters that can afford to live in Central Coast of California. Because the pay is the same as like Fresno or other areas in the state, and the cost of living is less in those places. And many, many of these firefighters are family people. So that's my report. So,
Director Rapogel.
Yes, I attended the Oceano Advisory Council meeting, and we had 2 referrals on the agenda. One was for another cannabis business on Railroad Street, which would bring the total to 2 over there, and I believe there's 5 on Pike Lane.
And we had another referral for a vacation rental over near the beach. In that packet, they provided a map showing all of the vacation rentals in that neighborhood, and it was more than half of the properties. So aside from considering those two, we're going to raise with the county the broader issues of how many cannabis businesses is Oceano getting, because there's a concern that that may be driving up rents and pushing out other types of businesses that we might want to have come in here, like an ice cream shop or a brew pub or something. I don't know what we'd want to have, but the community's not directly benefiting from these businesses here. All the taxes go to the county. We don't get any extra. Well, maybe some comes to the
sheriff.
But, yeah. And with the vacation rentals, there's the issue of, you know, losing the cohesiveness of a neighborhood if all the residents are pushed out in favor of people who are just coming and visiting for a short term, and also driving up rents for people who live and work here and can't find affordable housing because it's more of a moneymaker for somebody to rent out their house on Airbnb than to rent it out long term to somebody who works in the area. So we're raising that issue with the county to see if there's any way to address that going forward. That's all I have.
Are you looking at the Airbnbs in the community itself up in this area? Does the county have a map that shows that would be kind of interesting?
I believe that you can go on the county's website and pull that up.
Oh.
I didn't try. They just supplied this one page in the packet.
Yeah, I saw that.
But I think it is available on the county website.
Yeah, that would be interesting to them. Okay, thank you. And I didn't have anything. We didn't have a meeting, so I have nothing to report. Is there any public comment on the staff report, the special presentations or anything? Seeing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. That's the minutes of June 12th and the cash disbursements, review and approval of cash disbursements. Is there any discussion on the board before I open public comment?
I just had a few questions on the cash disbursements. If you could detail what some of the larger items were for.
Of course. The check to Canon was for the WRRP. Adamski is legal fees. Verdeen was our June billing, Verdeen printing. The Connex Waterworks, that's for the valve materials that they replaced. That one's for, $2,600. The SLO County Public Health Department, that's for backflow inspections. And then the Wallace is for the fog work they do that we issued a purchase order for. And I think those were all the ones over 1,000. We're still working on what the best way to do over 1,000 would be.
Well, because, that is fine. If it's easy to just provide it verbally.
Yeah, if you're okay with that, that's easy.
Yeah. It's just, regarding the Wallace group, I thought that we were training our people and we were going to do that ourselves. Is that still ongoing? Or
Tony, maybe you can give us a quick update, because certainly Casey has gotten his arms well around it, including notifying one property owner that who previously had a waiver that they're going to have to install grease traps.
So Casey has been working with the Wallace group, and he is pretty much on his own now. I have gone with him a few times, but he's taking the lead on it. And I'll look into it, but I believe that would be the last payment to them, unless Casey needs any assistance. We have a facility that has never had a grease trap, and they do need one because of what's going into our collection system. It does affect our sewer system. And we sent them a notice of violation and gave them 60 days to have one installed, and the owner was not happy. But that is adequate time, I do believe. And We did mention it to the GM, and it 60 days, 2 months to get, and it's not something that goes in the ground. It's basically the sinks, what they clean everything, it collects right underneath there. It gets plumbed to that, and then it'll go to the sewer system. So it catches everything that's not good for a sewer system, fats, oils, and grease. But he's got it down really well, and from here on out, it's going to be on the district.
Yeah, he's a bright guy. I'm sure he can.
No, he is. He's doing a great job. You know, he's taking the lead on that and quite a few other things. So we are taking on more responsibility, and, you know, there's other things that we can take on, but we're slowly getting there, you know, more and more, and delegating authority to the individuals in the field.
Do you know how much money you've saved doing the fog yourself?
I honestly, what does the fog cost? And that'll let you.
Off the top of our heads, we can bring those numbers back.
Just a ballpark.
Yeah, can't say right now, but we'll bring some.
I know the purchase order was $7,500 for the previous year when they were doing it for them.
And that was not even for a complete year. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, and so we can do some estimates of Casey's time. Our own implementation is certainly going to be significantly less than having a consultant doing the work, but it's also going to be more than when South County Sanitation District was doing the work, and that's simply because the individual who was doing it at that time probably wasn't tracking, you know, all of our costs. It was clearly a very low-cost alternative. These costs we pass on to the individual customers who have to have, you know, fog, grass,
fat oils and grease.
Fats, oils, and grease.
No, I know, but what do we call that capture thing again? Grease trap.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that the clients pay for that.
Yes, the restaurants who have to enroll in the program, we end up passing the cost through to them.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a fee associated with fats, oils, and grease.
Yeah.
And also the school, we're going to have to, they had a variance also, so Oceano School. So it's not just a distribution area school. It is they do the food in-house.
I was going to say they
don't have to do the
school. No, they do.
They do.
Yes. Currently, the only one I know off the top of my head has a variance, which a variance is just you inspect them once a year to ensure that nothing changes, is the melodrama. Because they don't create the fats, oils, and grease like a regular restaurant does. Okay. Very simple a food menu. But we'll definitely look into what it costs and bring that back. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, so are we all satisfied with our... Okay, any other comments before I open public comment? Is there any public comment on the consent agenda, which is the minutes of June 12th and the cash disbursements? Okay, seeing none, we'll come back and get a motion.
I make a motion we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded. May we all have a roll call, please?
Vice President Waits?
Yes.
Director Polvin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villan?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, we go now to our business items. 9A is review and discussion of painting and art for the old fire station at 1687 Front Street in Oceano. Did you have a report on this?
Madam President, members of the board, these next two items were really initiated by board members.
Right.
With respect to the, you know, the idea of doing something to beautify the old fire station, obviously staff thinks that's a good idea. The first questions that really pop into my mind is, how does your board decide who to select to do the artwork and is there a willingness to pay? Because we can certainly do like a proposal process or something where artists can provide some really basic approaches to what they would do in terms of murals or whatever, and if they would intend to get the materials in kind, or would they propose that we have to pay some money for it? That's really something that we can seek from them, because some individuals may be able to get it donated and others may not. The district could also reach out to Miners or whomever to see if we could get some painting. The other question is, though, is that when it comes to artists, is your board inclined to put forth like some sort of a stipend or something for their intellectual property? And it's not uncommon for artwork to have some sort of a compensation for whatever the artist is who gets it. So to me, it's what might they propose in terms of artwork? Would they be seeking a stipend for the artist for the intellectual property or creativity, whatever that might be called? And then what about the overall costs, and what would they propose in terms of costs?
So that's what we're going to discuss tonight, because at the last meeting, I know Director Rapogo had some interest from someone from the place I think you mentioned. And then we had discussed, Shirley and I discussed, so maybe we'll talk first what we've come up with, and then you can tell us what you've come up with, and then we can kind of decide on how we're going to move forward. So we did meet with she's an art facilitator. Her name is Beth Marie. She lives in Oceano. She's got a long resume of art, involvement with art. She teaches art, and she currently teaches art to the kids up at the juvenile services. And she does a lot of volunteer work. And so anyway, we met with her and gave her what our vision is, which is the vintage old Oceano, like with the we took all of our old produce labels to show, we don't necessarily mean like use them as art, but like fashion it after with the vegetables, the farming, that kind of stuff. So she had some young artists that she was going to meet with, kind of give them some ideas and see. Then we will meet with them again and see. And as for funding, I've already approached the Oceano Kiwanis is willing to donate some money. And I think the real cost is going to be to pay the artist and the paint. I don't know if we can do volunteer painting with liability. How would that work on the building? Because it has to be completely painted first.
Yeah, there are provisions in state statutes that still allow the district to utilize volunteers for certain work efforts, and we'd be glad to work with legal counsel to make sure we can make the determination that this would be eligible. Seemingly it would, since it's not part and parcel with our normal operations, but
and we thought we'd ask donations, to the different businesses and see what we could come up with. Is there anything else, Shirley?
I think just that we were trying to keep the funds totally separate from the district. And, really rely on the history of Old Oceano for the content.
Okay.
So I just had a question. Are you envisioning, have an artist come up with the design and then get the community involved in actually doing the painting?
Would have to have the artist do the painting.
Okay, yeah. But a volunteer artist do the painting.
Or someone, we have to usually pay them, I would think. That's where I think the fundraising.
Where was the volunteer discussion coming? And then
I would imagine that.
I'm talking about the painting of the whole station would need to be painted. And then the artwork added on is what I was thinking.
Yeah, for base colors or whatever.
Gotcha.
And, the cleaning and scraping and all that. And then there's a lot to, we need to look, the building is so angled and it's, So I think what we should do is everybody just get their ideas and people together, and then we'll I don't know how we would pick. We can maybe get it out there that we're, you know, looking for artists, and maybe the, I don't know how we would pick it, have a community, I don't know, how to decide which one, which mural we like, maybe put it out there somehow or something to get the community support, let the community decide what they like.
So I like the idea of something involving the history of Oceano or capturing the flavor of Oceano mm-hmm. as like a theme. Mm-hmm. I'll just speak for the folks from the place who were here earlier and they had to leave. I told them the meeting started at 6 and didn't realize it was going to be scrambled.
Oh, darn.
And also for the Oceano Beach Community Association because no one, our beautification person wasn't able to be here. So the place, I'm not sure exactly what they had in mind because they were going to speak to it, but they are willing to paint it for free. And they have visiting artists like on residencies here during the summer. So they might be able to come up with something pretty cool. And, you know, free is good. The Oceano Beach Community Association recently got a $3,000 grant from the county for a project that is aimed at doing murals around the community. They would have like an interactive VR component to it. I can't explain it as well as Becca Venturini, who's our artist.
Right, yeah.
But it would have like a QR code in the corner and you'd scan it and there would be some like interactive features that would come up, like augmented reality, like Pokemon Go sort of thing. Uh-huh. And it would tell you something about the building or the area or the artist or, you know, a combination of those things. But the funding also includes, you know, materials and paying the artists something to do it. Mm-hmm. So that might be an avenue to go as well. In terms of soliciting ideas, I think it's a good idea to just put out a proposal. You know, we're looking for something that captures the flavor of Oceano, links to the history, you know, whatever we come up with as a board, and then just solicit some ideas, like sketches, and select
something.
We won
first place at the Mid-State Fair with Rebecca's artwork our tourism board.
Rebecca's doing that again this year
at
the fair. So.
So that all sounds good. So our next step would be then you have them, what, we have it on another agenda, or...
So thinking off the top of my head, it sounds like there's a number of different organizations in the community who have some willingness to help fund the efforts. And it seems like there's a general concurrence on the board that the theme has to be somewhat reflective of the history of Oceano.
Correct.
My thought with multiple public groups is that, you know, if your board has an ad hoc committee... that's really the easiest way to bring in the different groups to try to develop some, you know, collaboration amongst the different groups and to get into the more, a little bit more of the details in terms of reviewing how do we go about doing an advertisement.
Right.
And ultimately, it's going to be your board's decision on the selection of whomever is going to do the work. But with an ad hoc committee... you can really work that screening process. You can, you know, have a work through the details and develop some recommendations for your board to consider. With an ad hoc committee, you can add members of the public to that committee as well. I should clarify whether that's ad hoc or a different type of a committee. But in any case, we can certainly... have a committee that includes members of the public and no more than two members of your board to start working through, you know, the details and then bring back recommendations. The question in my mind, if you like that approach, because it's going to be more collaborative with the community groups, is do you, if your board goes in that direction, do you just want to have two members of an ad hoc committee go and work the process and then come back and provide the recommendations? Or alternatively, we could develop, like the proposal, bring it back to your board, have your board approve the proposal, make sure you're good with that, then do the solicitation, and then work with the ad hoc committee to review the different proposals, bring in a recommendation. Alternatively, we could do some of the nuts and bolts with an ad hoc committee, and then whoever chooses to propose, they would simply propose to the board as a whole. I don't know if you have preferences one way or another.
So what is the flavor? Ad hoc committee?
Well, certainly it's something that the board's going to have to do, not staff.
Right.
And so that makes an ad hoc committee the logical, my way of thinking.
Yeah, I think having the ad hoc committee put together a proposal or a proposal for the proposal, like what we would like to solicit, is a good idea to bring that back to the board, make sure we're all on the same page before we put it out.
Staff would still be involved, but obviously would have a higher level of board involvement than our normal day-to-day activities.
What if we start with, since the place is interested, and then that Marie, I got that wrong, her name. Anyway, what if we start with just looking at their proposals when they're ready and then see where we go from there?
Just reach out to those two groups specifically.
To start with, and if they don't meet our needs or you know, what if we're not happy with that, then we, you know,
keep it
go another layer maybe. And
I think I'd like to have it put out to the community more generally, because there are other artists here besides just the place. So it would be good for community involvement to make it a little broader.
So maybe what we can do is sort of an in-between on those. We could put something out to say that the district is working on an effort to do this, whatever it is, and that those who may be interested, if you reach out to us sooner, then that would be better as opposed to us going through. That way we might find that the interest of two grows to five. You know, maybe the interest of two goes to four or three, but then we've identified the artists and the individuals up front and kind of work, you know, a little bit with them as well as to how to try to tackle this.
Yeah, better. Just give us more options to choose from, I think.
Yes.
And one thing I would like to see is something that's eye-catching that will make people slow down as they drive into town. I think that would be a good criteria to have in there.
We like I'm thinking like bright colors.
The other thing that I've briefly talked with Tony is pulling down some of the fencing that we have around the old fire station. Because we have all this vacant lot between the sheriff's substation and the old fire station. Some of it we need to remain fencing because we have our wells in there and the generator is going to go in there and stuff. But we could certainly create more open space around the structure itself. And I think that will help to, you know, make it more visually aesthetic.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Or construct a billboard.
The other thing we had looked at billboard. Was the on the 13th Street side.
Yes.
Yeah, as making that a kind of an educational side. In other words, if we did some of the label art there, and then give some of the history on the packing sheds and you know, the train depot So I think, you know, there's potential for all kinds of ideas, but that was one thought we had to not only be art, but to be, you know, educational.
Pacific Fruit Express.
That kind of ties
Pacific
in
Fruit Express
with,
car.
Yeah.
What Cynthia said about the
QR code.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like there's panels there on that one side. There would be, you could put like the depot or...
I forgot to mention part of this mural project by the OBCA. It'd be like a walking tour, so people would walk to the different murals around town and scan the QR code and learn something in the different spots. So.
To
two historic sites.
Okay, so we're at the point where
the general manager comes up with a plan. Well, do we want to have an ad hoc committee? Because if we agree on that, then we could just vote on doing that.
Doing the ad hoc committee is...
Or I guess, do we have anybody who's interested in being in an ad hoc committee?
Maybe that's
the first question.
Linda might be.
It'd be, have to be probably me and you, I guess, right?
I am overbooked right now. I'm sorry, I can't.
Can we
not have a committee and just kind of move forward?
Yes, you can not have a committee and just move
forward.
What you
forward. Said earlier about, well, how do we get it out there? Can we just put...
Are you Karen?
No.
I'll be stretching myself too thin. My mom's...
I guess Linda and I could do it, but is everybody happy with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll make sure to capture the place, and I'll make sure to coordinate also with Director Lepogle on some of the contacts that she had indicated.
Okay. So you would direct to Pablo, then you would tell. Is that how?
I would.
We would be the ad hoc committee, and then if Cynthia has any idea, wants us to, then she tells you, and then you tell us. Is that how it works?
Yeah, mostly
well,
to be able
I can,
to.
I can just pass along Becca's contact info.
Yeah,
right.
That'd be good.
And then I don't need to be involved with it. You can talk to Becca.
Right.
But then the ad hoc committee would
go
put together
to the
a proposal.
She kind of did
the criteria that we're looking for, and then bring it back to us. Or are we going to determine that now?
I think we kind of basically have determined how we want it to be.
Well, and we've got the very basic idea that we want to make sure that it reflects the history of Oceano. I'm hearing agricultural theme associated with it, maybe not exclusively. Mm-hmm. I'm also hearing that there's ideas of maybe taking different approaches, including educational, depending on which perspective that you're looking at. And that kind of makes sense, because if you're coming in from the south, you're going to see certain sides of the building. If you're coming in, from the other way, you're going to see other angles on the building. But I'd really think that reaching out to some of the individuals who are interested, doing some brainstorming, trying to find out if there's other artists who might be interested. In some ways, it sounds like a pre-bid type of a walk. If we have a complicated construction project, we'll usually do a pre-bid discussion where contractors will come in, we'll talk about it, and then we put it out to bid. So doing some sort of outreach there. But once we've got our arms around what we want to do a little bit more formally, I think we'd come back to the board then for the formal approval to proceed.
Yeah, I'd like to see not just history. I mean, history is good, but I'd also like to see just the flavor of Oceano, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now,
well, one thing we were looking at, that the clamming and ATV and the water sports are kind of represented in on Pier Avenue and over there, and that the old part of Oceano was really about, ag and the train and all of that. So that was kind of why we had focused on that.
Apricot orchards?
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Halcyon had 800 trees.
And the other thing we might run into, too, is sometimes, when you have these ideas, it can be very stifling for an artist. So that'll be the challenge, I think.
I'm sorry, I missed the last thing you said. What can be challenging?
If we have all of, our specifics, that can be kind of stifling for an artist. And so that'll be the challenge, to kind of marry those two things.
But you don't think it should go like just the dunes themselves with the wildflowers?
No.
Oh, I would like to see something like that. That sounds nice.
No dunes, because the train did have a track that went out to the beach, and the resorts were out on the dunes. I mean, that was early.
I guess we just have to see. I think if we get too many subjects, then
maybe if they could just tie it just a little bit of a dune.
Well, keep it more top level. The history and flavor of Oceano, and see what they come up with, maybe.
The 4 or 5, 6 square blocks in which the fire station and this whole area is circled around, is where the packing complex was before World War II until the 60s. So the biggest thing in this space was those packing sheds and the railroad.
Kind of still is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll you don't have there. The sheds.
Not when like it had, was when you'd...
When you had four packing much, sheds.
To stop for them to cross the street to go eat lunch at Jensen's.
Yeah, you had hundreds of people working right here with all the produce coming in from the fields. Yeah. You don't see any of that now, but for years and years and years...
They trucked it up, so. Yeah.
And it, the reason I said the Pacific, the cars, the railroad cars, the Pacific Fruit Express, is because that is the one dynamic thing that was here. Would they ship 20 or 30 cars a day out of here full of produce to the east? Mm-hmm. For years and years and years, that was the dynamic center of this particular area. So that was my only thinking.
Director Villa, sounds like you have a thought.
I completely agree. And maybe if we could put the Oceana that no longer exists but was around forever. When you think of this area, you think of Bovi, all the trucks, all the packing that was going on there, the Oceana, and Austin's Market.
And,
that's what I think of when I think of this.
And put on the Jensen Cafe.
Exactly. Have to have Jensen. Yeah.
Now we're talking old
school. I'm just saying that is the history of this spot. But
of this spot, and it should reflect the spot.
Yeah.
So I think we've probably exhausted our creativity as well as we're going to. And we need to...
Yeah. Working in the package yet.
So...
You weren't sure we didn't look at high
issues. So what if Linda and I come back with... some kind of findings at the next meeting, and
I wouldn't set a timeline on the next meeting.
Okay,
because we need to do outreach and everything. My recommendation at this time would just simply be the formation of the ad hoc committee, with the general direction that follows the board's discussion.
And I have Rebecca's contact, so I can...
You have it already. Yeah. Okay.
And the place. We just go over there.
You know, the place has already offered to put a mural there.
Right.
So I just as a reminder.
And for free? Did I hear free?
Yes, Darcy said that they had offered to paint it for free. But we haven't seen what they want to paint yet, so.
Yes.
Yeah. There's free and free.
Okay, I think we're have a plan. Thank you. Our next item is
do we need
there
to
a public
move
comment?
To form the ad hoc committee?
Oh, or? Yes, I guess. Do we need to move to form? Yeah. Do we want to take public comment on the art at the old firehouse? There's no public comment. Okay. Then we will now form... Make a motion.
I make a motion. We form an ad hoc committee to focus on the potential for a mural or murals in the area of the firehouse.
Second.
Let's have a roll call, please. Mm-hmm.
Vice President White.
Yes.
Director Villa.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
Director Polham.
Yes.
President Austin.
Did I hear members who were nominated for that ad hoc committee, or did that...
Shirley and Linda.
And that was understood by all five?
Yes.
As other people refused to.
We're the only
one. This corner said no.
Okay. Our next item is a review and discussion of the Board of Directors stipends with direction as may be deemed appropriate. So I believe Shirley asked to have this. Since she did, I will... turn it over to you.
Good. Okay, so at every meeting, the board members report on any committee meetings that they have attended. And, you know, I'm kind of new to this board, and there's a big learning curve. And I think sometimes our board doesn't do enough to explain the work of the committees and their importance to our district. So I kind of wanted to go through some of the committees. And, of course, we have the sanitation district, and That doesn't need explanation, and also Five Cities Fire Authority. But then we have Zone 1 and 1A, which is basically two flood control zones, and they maintain flood control facilities of the Arroyo Grande and Los Barros Creek channels. They do vegetation maintenance, flap gate maintenance, levee repair, etc. And if the general manager wants to jump in, or if I make an error, thank you. And then we have the Integrated Regional Water Management, which is a collaborative effort to manage all aspects of water resources in a region. And then within that, we have the Regional Water Management Group that is a working group. So the Integrated Regional Water Management crosses all jurisdictional watershed political boundaries. It involves multiple agencies, individuals, and groups. It develops multi-benefit solutions. And next, we have the Water Resources Advisory Committee. And basically, they advise the Board of Supervisors on all policy decisions relating to water resources of the Slo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. They recommend methods of financing water resource programs. It's kind of an informational meeting, and it involves supervisors, representatives, several cities, many CSDs, ag members at large, and environmental members at large, and water agencies. And then we have the Oceano Advisory Committee, which essentially advises the Board of Supervisors of the county. And they deal with building permits, vacation rental permits, cannabis permits, mostly county-related subjects. And then we have Zone 3 Advisory Committee, which reports to the Board of Supervisors, and its duties are flood control and water conservation in District Zone 3. And it funds operations at the Lopez project, so that's Lopez Lake and Dam, the Terminal Reservoir, and the Water Treatment Plant and Distribution System. And the Lopez project provides drinking water to Arroyo, Avila, Grover, Pismo, and Oceano CSD. And then we have State Water, of which Oceano is a subcontractor. And at those meetings, we discuss anything related to state water infrastructure, like the Oroville Dam, the Delta Tunnel. We discuss water delivery and water storage, et cetera. And then we also have the airport, which is 95% about the San Luis Airport. And then we have various other small committee meetings that don't happen very often, if ever. So the reason I brought this to the board is that, especially the stipend issue, is because we are coming up with the fire tax that may be on the ballot next year. So in that respect, I think it's more than fair for our board to review our stipends and see if we can save the district some money. So what I would like to consider is that board members voluntarily, and not changing the bylaws or anything, but just on a voluntary basis, maybe request fewer stipends. Now, at board meetings, there's a $100 stipend, and then at the committee level, they're $50 if you're the lead. And if you're the alternate, there's no stipend. So maybe what could happen is that people or board members take the $100 meeting and a $50 committee meeting, but if they have multiple committee meetings, maybe they don't request stipends for all of those, or maybe they request half. So I just think that with the fire tax coming, being possible, that we should do our share to look at what we can do to save some money. And I'd also like to comment that when we go to committee meetings that our board is 100% involved and that we are there representing our community. So anyway, I'll leave it at that, and if other board members want to contribute their comments.
Well, thank you, Shirley. Does anybody have anything to contribute?
I'm not picking on Ms. Rapoglou, but it ended up at Zone 11A last meeting. I was there representing Halcyon. Linda is on the board, and Cynthia was representing the Oceana Community Service District. Linda's actually a voting member on the board now. I'm nothing. And the OCSD has no direct voting or committee relationship with Zone 11A. And I don't know whether we all need to be there. And I'm not, that's not a reflection on you. I was just, it's just...
Yeah, that's not a stipend paying attendance. But
yeah, but I just wonder if it's another meeting you have to go to. If she's already, she's on the board, she can report back.
Our Director Austin, are you planning to attend all of those meetings going forward?
Well, yeah, I do. But I don't see if, I don't, is it a problem if there's three of us there?
Probably not, because only one of us is actually, I just bring it up because there was three of us there last meeting, representing different elements.
It's kind of a separate subject from the stipend discussion, so I don't
I just brought it up because I thought about it. You know, if I think about something, it's going to come out.
Well, I appreciate what Shirley said, because it does, we are looking at the fire tax coming up, and it does look, you know, it's in, we should look to how we can help save money. So if people want to voluntarily not take the stipend for their meeting, then that's fine. If they want to take it, then they can take it. I think that's all that it's about, right? Isn't that just like,
yeah.
It's just an
yeah.
eye opener on what we, yeah. what we're doing, and in a way to show our support for saving money is what I take from what you said. So I don't know if there's just something. Does anybody else have anything to comment on it? Or
what's the total budget for? It's about $5,000 or something. How much are we actually spending in a year?
The preliminary had about $18,000, and I think the year before, I was just looking at that. I think it was $10,000 was spent. So there's a savings. Or excuse me, it was eight. It's what it's estimated to be for the fiscal year 18-19.
So a lot less than was spent on the survey of the community for fire and emergency services.
Yeah, Carrie, let's confirm that. So the budget is $18,000 a year?
$18,540. It's on page 90 of 131.
And I think that's just simply a calculation, $600 a month,
yeah.
Five directors, 12 months in the year, and the stipends are typically, actual stipends are like less, about half of that or under?
Yeah, that would be if every meeting happened, every committee meeting happened. That's how we get that calculation.
Yeah, so when I look at line 015-41-225, I guess it's a little bit, probably averaging a little bit more than 50%, because 14-15, it was 11,200, dropped down to 10,650, next year was 10,700, and then it dropped to 8,700. The estimate for this year is about 8,900, so more than 50%, but definitely less than two-thirds of the budget.
Okay, so I think we'll leave it at that. Stipends for the meetings. And if you want to forego your stipend for your committee meeting, that would be
Madam President, I wasn't sure if any public comment was requested.
Well, I was getting there. Is there any public comment on this last thing?
She was going there.
No, he set me up.
You always do that. I was going to say that, and then I was going to say, is there any public comment? Okay, seeing none. That brings us to, I think, we go back to closed session now?
Well, let's run through. I didn't have, on item 11, I had no received written communication, but we did have late received written communications. Board members got blind copied as well as hard copies in here. And essentially, we have a constituent who was requesting board consideration of a letter of support in order to plead to the IWMA to somehow, you know, it's the polystyrene and the other non-recyclable that Mr. Smith with South County Sanitary was speaking to. The idea of providing a letter of support, if your board was so willing, was not going to be able to be accommodated based on your regular schedules, and the feedback I provided that it would require a special meeting. However, legal counsel has an update on the IWMA efforts.
Thank you, Madam President, directors of the board. I attended the executive committee today of the IWMA because I am their legal counsel. And at the executive committee today, there was a discussion about, originally the IWMA, the entire board, had asked that staff comes back with a potential ban, an ordinance to ban polystyrene. The discussion today led to more of a broad, the discussion of maybe a broader approach is necessary to not just stick with that type of particular foam, but also look at all the other kinds of plastic that are not being recycled. And so rather than put the matter on the regular agenda for July 10th as an actual review of an ordinance, it's going to be more of a study or a workshop to get community feedback and get a broader understanding of what the other member cities are doing, what other communities in California are doing, and get a little more direction on how broad the IWMA would want to go.
The polystyrene, is that what exactly?
That, and realize that you're talking to a lawyer on polystyrene. Mm-hmm. I think Director Plogle may do better than I do, but polystyrene is the basically the foam that would make like coolers. Is that
talking about styrofoam?
Styrofoam, packing peanuts,
right. Peanuts, like those things, not like the red Solo cups. That's separate.
That is the.
I believe it's expanded polystyrene. That's the actual like styrofoam packing pieces that you get with your new TV or packing peanuts that come in
those
when
peanuts.
You buy something. Delicate.
I'm going to learn a bit about it over the next...
I believe that's what it is.
There's a whole lot of...
What people typically think of styrofoam.
And I would imagine...
And take out container clamshells.
The clamshell would start with... They're mostly that paper now.
I would believe this is going to be a rather broad discussion of what other communities are doing, even considering plastic straws and other forms of plastic. So... to the extent your board and the community are interested, that will be a workshop on July 10th rather than an actual review of an ordinance.
And where and what time is that?
That is at the San Luis Obispo County Government Center on Monterey. It's on July 10th, and I believe the meeting, let me check my calendar so I get it right. It is at 1:30.
My thinking on this, and I'll just pass it on, is when this is usually these broader issues, I say Oceano is, we have our limited services, but one of those is our garbage. So we really actually could sound off on this as a committee, in my opinion. But I think we should wait and see what the IWMA is going to do and what... so that we would have the idea that we would support something that's concrete that they're proposing already and keep it on the agenda for later.
And I agree. So right now, Director Villa is our liaison with IWMA. Certainly, you know, any of the board members are free to go to the meeting. I can help coordinate. I think the important issue is, as legal is to mention, there, IWMA is going to be looking at this and how are they going to be developing recommendations. And we just simply want to make sure that we have the ability to have it on the agenda prior to IWMA's actual scheduled actions on it.
Yeah.
So is that something we can carry as a future action items or future agenda item so it can be pulled on at the appropriate
yes.
time?
Yes.
So this workshop that they want to do, is it because from whatever comes out of it, do they want to propose an ordinance countywide?
That's yeah, and if I might jump in a little bit, one of the tricky areas here is that there's already a number of different cities in the county who have already adopted ordinances, including our neighboring Arroyo Grande, Grover, and Pismo Beach, San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay. My understanding is they haven't all adopted the same ordinances. They're a little bit different. Plus, their jurisdictions are different than the CSD's jurisdiction. Certainly, your board has jurisdiction on this because you do manage solid waste and recycling within the community of Oceano. But whether IWMA has a ordinance or whether they have, you know, this is the ordinances that the cities might consider. These are the ordinances that the community services district might consider. It may not be just one size fits all, but that's part of the process that I think IWMA is going to be working through. So no action necessary by your board. This is, again, late received communications. I thought it was especially noteworthy to bring to your attention because it does have, you know, relationship to your direct jurisdiction. Your powers are relatively limited. We hear a lot of items that are important, many of which fall outside of your jurisdiction. This one is directly within your jurisdiction, and so we'll keep abreast on it and make sure it's on the agenda in a timely manner.
Thank you.
Okay, and we have our timeline in our agenda packet of the future agenda items, right? So is there anything we need to...
We'll work on updating that. The one thing I do want to mention is that the bullet point on July 24th, the target date for direction on new Five Cities funding of formula, that was actually done already. Initially, we weren't sure. We thought that perhaps we were going to see an amendment to the JPA simply for the transitional funding formula. As it turned out, what was adopted by all the agencies was also the permanent funding formula. So that particular bullet gets to come off. But for July 10th, we are planning on reviewing the county report on fire and emergency services, identification of other community options. At the recent general manager summit, happens to be that ran across an old associate who is now the general manager of the Twain Hart Community Services District Fire Department that is funded about the same level of funding that Oceano CSD has. So we're going to be researching their budget and their operations in order to see if that could be a comparative example for your board.
Good. That's good. Okay, any future hearing items that we know?
Well, I just had a couple of announcements.
Oh, sure.
First, on July 2nd, State Parks is having a scoping meeting for a subsequent EIR for their particulate matter reduction plan. That's at, I believe it's at Ramona Park in Grover Beach. And let me just get the time. It's 6 p.m. And the other thing is we now have a particular day during the Coastal Commission hearing when the Oceano Dunes Coastal Development Permit review as well as Public Works Plan review will be on the agenda. And that is on July 11th. The meeting starts at 9 a.m., but it's down on the agenda, so it may not be heard until the afternoon. Coastal Commission staff has put out a report, and they are proposing substantial limitations on vehicles and off-roading at the dunes that would be consistent with the amount of land for off-roading that has been reduced due to the measures that have been taken to do revegetation and other dust mitigation measures. So it's very contentious. They're also recommending that there be entrance studies done to possibly eliminate the Pier Avenue entrance or create another entrance further down that might take some of the pressure off of Pier Avenue. They're recognizing that Oceano has suffered environmental injustice because of the presence and the operation of the ODSPRA. So they are recommending that state parks take Oceano into more consideration in anything that they're planning for future operations. So there's a lot of areas that impact our community quite a bit. So you might want to take a look at the Coastal Commission website and the report there. There's an email you can submit comments if you aren't able to attend the meeting.
Isn't that going to be on C-SPAN too?
The Coastal Commission meetings are always live streamed.
Yeah.
On CalSPAN.
Okay, thank you.
Now I will announce closed session.
So following public comment, the board will adjourn to closed session for employment, public employment pursuant to government code section 54597B1. Position is general manager.
Okay, is there any public comment on closed session? Seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session, and then we will adjourn after closed session.
I think we'll adjourn to the restroom.